My brother Lewis is perspiring. He's been working hard. Okay, we're ready. First of all, I want to say thank you for coming. And second, good morning. Good morning. Okay. Thank God for every day. Many could wake up and many could be here, and this is a very good title. I'm more than happy to share my experience to show you what where I'm coming from. Counseling the deaf. I love to help people. I love to serve people. I can relate with them because I am deaf myself. I will explain a little bit about myself and my background and my work experience and technical skills involved with this, but also a little bit about my role is on counseling, a little bit as a minister, but I have a lot of experience, more experience as a counselor than I do as a minister. I'd like to introduce myself. Who am I, anyway? Who am I? Oh, I forgot to use my name. My name is Carl Moore. My sign is CM on the palm. I'm deaf, and I'm originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Right now, I'm preaching for the Park Plaza Church of Christ here in Tulsa. Last year, I interned there and started working just recently, once a month in January. Until June, I will be moving here and working with that church. I've been coming now once a month. I have about 27 years experience as a counselor. Broad, not specific one, but broad counseling in various levels. I've worked with adults, deaf adults, and deaf children. I will tell you where in a little bit. I've been a community counselor. I went to Salem, North Carolina. Worked there with the deaf adult people. Then became an employment counselor in Maryland for 1 year. Really 1.5 years. With the National Association of the Deaf. My title was Work Training. I worked with people who lived around Maryland in that area to help them find jobs. They make an application and help them how to take an interview, like a role play. Some it's easy admit about their guilt problems. I would explain to them, not a good idea to bring your personal problems into the work. So I try to teach them how to keep their personal problems at home and train them how to find a job, train them for 1.5 years. And I became a dorm counselor in Pennsylvania, almost 2 years. I worked for an institution. Elwin Institution, outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Worked with mentally retarded, and those who are deaf and hard of hearing, deaf and blind. Interesting, the dorm was divided between ages, different areas. I worked with the age 5 years old to 101, 102, 1 to 3 years old. 101. I don't know what that is. That's working in the institution or the school there. First floor, be deaf. The second floor, be hearing upstairs. Interesting. The nurses would say, try to keep, take care of the...
This woman has 101.
Oh, I see. Had a woman 101 years old in there. Okay, I was... Deaf and hard of hearing, work downstairs and give them the best care. This woman, she's continuing. She wants to beat those upstairs and see who would die first. They're a competition. But my job was, my title was advocate for the deaf and hard of hearing. At that time, I visited different dorms and arrived at home. And okay, I would communicate with this 101-year-old woman and see if everything's all right with her. Okay. Then I get feedback from the nurses and ask everything going okay. You have any needs? Then I'd make a report to my boss. My boss is the head of all the floor, all that area. 12 different levels of dorms and recreations and Department of Education and Department of Training. Under the one boss, he had 10 or 12 people under him. Interesting. And I remember, let me see, about 94, I taught American Sign Language to all the bosses and all those that volunteer would sign up. And they would learn. It felt very important. And they would ask their department heads, you who would sign up to learn sign language, please sign up. And understanding that they had 1,000 workers in that whole system. And about 10 deaf workers in the different levels under that one. I had to communicate with my boss in the different department levels. They all know that I was deaf and I was working there. For the vice president of that institution, he heard a lot about me, and then somehow I met him in a conference, and he asked me, where do you work? Oh, I'm working for, don't look for a job. You work for me. You have a job working for me. Come to my institution. He gave me the card. Come to my institution. We'll give you a job title and job description. You meet with me, and I will bring it up to the board, and the board will approve, and then you start working right away, okay? Don't you leave. You see me. Okay. Well, it kind of puffed me up a little bit talking to this vice president. But anyway, when I left, I felt bad. It kind of embarrassed me. I was afraid to meet him. I met him and said, he looked down. Speak up. Okay. Somebody offered me another job. Really? Don't care about the people around. How much? That's private. I don't care how much they're paying you. 7,000 more. What? Where? Over there? No. Give me time to increase your pay, I said. What's wrong? They want me right now. They gave me 7,000 more right now. I don't have the money. Why didn't you tell me that before? I'm telling you right now. No, you can't go. No. Everybody was looking. I'm standing there. How nervous of him. Tell me no. I'm scared of him. But I said, I'll talk to you later. I'm not comfortable. And I left and walked out. Talk to my boss about him. The boss, that's him. That's the way he works. Yeah, that's him. You don't have to listen to him. I'll protect you. Really? How can you protect me? He's over everything. Don't worry. the president would help me. Yeah, okay, you can talk to the president. He will talk to the president. And I went on. President, come in here. And he went in. He said, I heard already. I've heard. It's already spread. Really? It's already? Okay. President says, you take it easy. Don't worry about anything. We don't have the money. Take 3-4 years to come back. No, no. You go. I'll take care of this. Don't worry. You go. Okay? Really? Yes. He shook my hand very comfortably, hugged me. My president, I don't want to see him. I left. Okay. Interesting experience. Wow. Okay. Next slide. Where I went before. I worked for a vocation rehab in Texas, in El Paso, Texas. I stayed there almost 3 years. Very special work there at that time. Really interesting. That place had 7 VR counselors in one area, 1 deaf, 6 hearing. Hearing counselors were interpreters, but they worked with the deaf and hard of hearing and hearing, and maybe 5 general VR workers. Deaf, one himself, all the deaf and hard hearing, 100% focused there. Then they had one interpreter planned to leave. So I volunteered. Then during the interview of the 3, you know, vying for the job, surprised that I know ASL. Oh, that's interesting. So I met an interview, was ready. He started the interview and asked them questions. Every time I answered, they would laugh hard. They would laugh. I said, are they insulting me? What are they doing? What's wrong? I kept quiet. The next question, I answered, they all would laugh again. And I'm wondering what's going on. I said, I'm finished. Inside, I'm upset. I tell myself, I felt like I'm being used because they've taken down careful notes, and I was kind of fed up with them. Hey, I said, if you don't hire me, I don't care. Why are you laughing at me? Why are you laughing? They said, your answers, impossible. Funny answers. The answers that you gave are funny. You're an expensive person from the East. You're from Gallaudet University. You have MA or whatever. What? I said, well, what are you talking about that for? Don't worry. Just go ahead. Let us finish the interview. I said, okay. He said, be blunt. So I would just blunt. I'll get even with them. You know? Maybe would not get the job. But anyway, I didn't care. By that time, went through the interview, got all finished. I told them, you owe me for the trip. And they said, oh, it's already taken care of. You owe you a deaf man? Yes, okay. I went over there. I said, come on, visit. Started to visit Mexico. We visited the town of El Paso. He said, everything's okay. Thank you so much. Took me on an airplane. I forgot about them. I went doing my job where I was working. And that vice president, that fellow there, hey, you stay here. You stay here. Yes. Every time I see the vice president, I wish I could get out of that job. I wish, but I was stuck there anyway. Patient, positive. That boy had 5 children. And he kept moving because he had authority to get the dorm staff to all under, all the dorm staff was under him. And I said, you come with me. And he went with me. He had equal authority, I guess. The five boys never forgot that we sat down during and we figured out what that boy was here for. Because they're mentally retarded in second. They had deaf people. I looked at that boy. He was not mentally retarded. He's 5 years old. I said, come on with me. And I took him like a son, you know. And we walked. He said, you're deaf? I said, yes, I'm deaf. Come with me. Sat down with him and started talking and talking and talking and talking. Smart boy. He'd been to school for the deaf. You know, I wanted him to go. I made tape records of what we talked about. I walked him over. You stay with that group. No, I want to be with you. I want you to. I want to take. I want to live with you. Oh, you're not my son. Let me do some investigating first. Okay, I love you. And he said, little boy went away. Then I. We're same colored skin. Maybe he wants me to become his father. Maybe. Anyway, I went to work. My boss says, "You met that 5-year old boy?" I know. Why you send him over there? Read the file. Just read the file. Go through it all. Okay. I got the file. Came and looked at it. Read the whole thing. They understood, found out his mother had been an interpreter. Mother was interpreting. And in the court demanded that he be taken out of Maryland, put in that institution or something. And I read the whole file, discussed with them back and forth. Trying to decide what to do with him. And finally, met a hearing social worker and told the social worker, I think we need to help that boy go back. And I was happy, be happy to adopt him. You would adopt him? The woman said, me? I just learned the sign language. That'd be fine. That boy would help you even more if you learned sign language. Why? You'd take him from his parents. I didn't want to get into that part. But you just check the file. The boss told me that you go check the file and you find out. And maybe understand the reasons why the court did that. They had the authority, okay? They had good reasons. About 4 months later, TRC, that interview that I had, called me and said, the job is offered there. I was typing the offer. Oh, I laughed at them. I couldn't believe it. I laughed at them. I thought it was a joke. What did I do? I deleted the whole thing and I went back to work. Mistake. Boop. They got mad. I was working. Vice president, not with him. My boss came in and said, you turned down TRC? Yeah. Wait a minute. My boss said it took to convince you that that business is really a good offer. Oops. I began to look. That's really, you really meant business? Yeah. And you hung up on it? No. You better go and get that job. Really? Yes, yes. It was on the phone about it to me. And you hung up the phone. Oh, I thought they were teasing. No. Sent me a yellow telegram. I wants to, yes. Why not? Okay. I went and called, and later, afternoon, sure enough, there's a telephone, a telegram. I looked at it. You were hired. I looked at that. Whew. I'm sorry. Can I leave? It's up to you. Really? It's up to me. Okay. Don't worry. Okay. You tell them I'll accept the job. 1 month move from Philadelphia to El Paso is pretty far away. So, my boss said, "2 weeks or you lose the job. You have to be there in 2 weeks." I said, "What? 2 weeks? You're crazy." My boss said, "Okay. What's going on?" I told him, "It's not worth it. 2 weeks. Wow." Why it took so much for the answer, 4 months to answer, and why they want me to be there in 2 weeks. Anyway, I explained to my wife and the children and how they were crazy. But anyway, somehow I got the truck, got everything packed, everything worked out. We made it, got the job, met the boss, and he and laughed. He says, 2 weeks. You laughed at it. But it became a little defensive. He took that risk anyway with all that was going on. The answers about the money and everything, they all worked together. 6 months on probation, to see became, you could watch the activities and watch what they do after 6 months. Understand. I found that after I got the job 4 months behind, then I had to work and catch up 40 hours a week. I had to work, make up work up to 80 hours a week. Understand, only paid for 40, but 6 months passed. And then after that, the second 6 months, not on probation, but I had to keep up the 80-hour week because I kept finding position. My position was so far behind. And it kept working until the first year, 80-hour weeks, the second year, 60-hour weeks, the third year, I could relax down a normal schedule, 40-hour, 35 or 40-hour weeks. Then 3 years later, I got the promotion. So I put that, I was 4 months behind when I took the job. Okay. Then I went to a counselor for in TID in New York, the college, and I was a counselor there for 6 years. Visited my father often until he died in Philadelphia. In TID, it was Rochester to Philadelphia. It's about 6 to 8 hour drive, so that was a good time. I could visit my father before he died. I really missed my father. Then I went to guidance school and worked for Gaudette there in the guidance school for about kindergarten to those or 12th grade. My title was counselor for that transition counselor. Then I became went to Sunset. 2004 till now, I have to be kept with my counseling skills, so I call that special spiritual counseling. Okay. Now, what do I do? I'm finished with that. Who am I now? Now you know me a little bit better. Now, this is what I do. I provide spiritual counseling service through American Sign Language, ASL. I do it by appointment with deaf people. And I counsel with them by appointment. I do individual counseling, one-on-one. Talk about individual needs, struggling for life, looking for guidance, and needs for change in life. and work with you to solve your personal problems, family problems, financial problems, etc. And I do group counseling also. Work with couples. They have the same kind of problems. You permit. Okay, I can bring them together if they agree to that. Then in general, and maybe it might be if I financial, or maybe depend upon the subject or the age or whatever. I also provide online. The church here in Park Plaza, the Park Plaza Church of Christ, last year I did an internship. The first thing they suggested, set up a video phone. I like that. And after six weeks, I went home and it made contact with them, and several of them would get counseling on video phone. And that worked very well. Now I'm going to move here, but I'll keep that relationship with those people through the video phone. What about deaf people? Okay, that's general. Deaf people have problems like the hearing. The only thing different is they can't hear. Same kind of problems. Deaf people do break the law. Deaf people are not perfect people. Deaf people, they have any needs. They're the same as the hearing. They're just the same. The same kind of needs. Deaf people need requests for sign language interpreters to get the help, though. I'll give you a simple example. Like here in Tulsa, how many services are provided for all the deaf? There's so many hearing people, they can go anytime in the yellow phone book, and there's a whole list of services. But what about deaf counselors? TASH or something like that, they have one. More than that, I don't know, but I have to find out about more. The qualified interpreters are hard to find. Very skilled interpreter this town. How many? A lot of interpreters. Do you know how many? Can you tell me how many? Guess. He says 2, 4. You know 15? You mind? Give me the list of those 15. I'd love to look at all that. It would help me a lot. TASH, under TASH, whatever that is. I'm interested in Tulsa. I'm not outside. Level 5, 3 up. I want 3, 4, and 5 up. Very few 3, 4, and 5. Let me know later. Okay. Most are school teachers, 1 and 2 and 3 levels. Okay, we'll go on. Some interpreters have a conflict of interest. It's not a good idea. Like, I want to go to the doctor and with my son, and I interpret for my son. Dad, I'm willing to go to the doctor with you, interpret for you. I say, oops, there's a conflict of interest. My boy knows about my health, and from A to Z, I don't need that. No, I need a professional interpreter. Oh, it's a woman. Oh, I'm not too... I'm a man. I'd rather have a man to interpret for me. I prefer a man to go with me. I have some... So I avoid some conflict of interest. There's some reason I need to know. I have a reason, and this is what I want, without insulting the interpreter, Interpreter needs to be aware, okay? You can use a TTY and TDD, and they have helped deaf people to help themselves a lot. I'm very independent myself. I feel, thanks to the technology, I've been able to do that. I learned how to help myself. I need your help, though, to take care of me for the rest of my life. Is that all right? I'm going to move here. You take care of me, okay? I'll just sit there and you take care of me like a baby. Come on and take care of me. Come on. Okay. You want to help me? That's fine. Okay. We have a few volunteers here going to do it. Keep your word when I move here. Okay. And now, do I have a deaf counselor in general? People, you know why? I would tell you, okay? Why they want a deaf counselor. The same language, ASL, that's why. Same culture. That's why they want a deaf counselor. Deaf people can tell the deaf counselor a lot more problems than talking to a hearing problem. Why? I'll pick one person for example, like here. My counselor is deaf. I can talk very fast. He can just blurt out everything. You know, he pours it all to me, you know. I have to accept what he's saying and be patient with it. Listen to it all and swallow it all. I hear everything he's saying. You want me to give you feedback or you want me to counsel? Yes, please. You sure? Okay. I can abbreviate advice and respond and refer. I may refer him. It depends upon the reason. I said, there's no reason. I would teach. Make sure you know how to help yourself. And then there's counseling working. And then through my years of experience, I've worked enough. And I know how to be humble and sweet and not mean and tell. I didn't like it when that man was mean and telling me what to do. So I'm learning to be a different way. Not all deaf people like me to have a third party or do not like to have a third party interpreter. Not all deaf people like to use the third party interpreter. You see the counselor, but he needs an interpreter. Let the agency bring in an interpreter. And now I'm explaining to an interpreter, an interpreter talking for me. Oh, that's not what I mean. Okay. What I mean is this. I explained to the interpreter instead of talking to the counselor. But sometimes the progress is stilted, you know. And if you have a deaf counselor, you go very fast. If I go fast, I'm talking to the interpreter. Well, very, very slow. The answer back and forth. Fine. Now, if I see if it goes, then I begin to trust the counselor. I mean, the interpreter more than the counselor. If the interpreter is a lousy interpreter, then the deaf people have a problem continuing on with that counseling. Another reason that deaf people know many interpreters. Some deaf, you know, the interpreter. Very skilled. Oh, I just got a new interpreter right there. Name. Wow. Very cool. And she comes. I don't want that interpreter. You know, the deaf people do gossip. You know, they talk about the interpreter. So I would encourage all the interpreter, stay professional. Don't gossip about what you. You have to respect the interpreting rules, you know, confidentiality. I find that a few interpreters, my hometown, not here, no problem in Tulsa yet. Yeah, you don't be sensitive, but there, my hometown, one very good interpreter arrived, time for the interview, came in. Oh, deaf, okay. I'm your interpreter. 5 minutes, we're ready to go in, okay, for the appointment. Said, I'm sorry, I'm behind. The interpreter's behind. Okay, we'll wait. Thank you for letting me know. I waited. Oh, the interpreter started questioning, talk about my problem. And they poured out all the problems to the interpreter. And she, you know, she was telling me about all of her problems to me. You know, I'm waiting. No. Well, okay. I don't want that interpreter anymore because they poured out all their problems to me. I'd rather the agency take care of that problem or somebody else. But anyway, what about a deaf counselor now? Some advantages. I don't need to worry about a third-party interpreter. See, I can go blunt with the deaf person. And deaf people can always talk to a deaf counselor. And they can meet them. I'm hoping when I move here, deaf people will get to know me and trust me. And I will ask God to help me to help as much as I can. Do my best with God's help. I'm not perfect. I'm not boasting, but that's just general information. The disadvantages? Deaf people may not take advantage of a deaf counselor's expertise. You have to be very careful. I said, well, he can help me. Choose to accept. Just like to keep the problem going on and on and on and on and on. It becomes a habit. That's the choice that they might make, you know, when they make that decision. For too long, the deaf people are already in a comfort zone. They've already set up and it's hard to change them. They're in a comfort zone of, suppose I say, you need a job? Okay, sure. I can work and see that person get the job. Oh, I'd rather hold on to my SSI. Wait. I'm comfortable with SSDI. Please, don't change. I've been patient to come here. I have to come here to see you. But change things? Change me? Oh, no, I don't want to change. Ooh. I have to learn. I have to put that down. Now, a little bit about the minister. I'm the spiritual minister and spiritual advice. I talk about health. I need to keep myself healthy. I have to take care of my family and my ministry, which is sign ministry, preaching, different signs. Missionary, many different signs I'm getting from many different ways, okay? I'm going to use this ministry. And then I have to keep myself under self-control. If you catch me in a mistake, forgive me, okay? I'm not perfect. But that's the circle I need to keep every day. Thinking positive through prayer and God's help. To this new day, God give me wisdom, and I pray that he watch over me and my family and watch over the church. They've hired me. I pray for the church. I pray for the members and the community and the state, country. I have to pray every day for those things. Now some terminology. Go a little bit deeper here, some terminology. Let's see. Self-control. This is very important. The ability to behave calmly and contained in itself and does not need other things or help from somewhere else to make it work. It means I ask for help. I 100% follow this. I do need help sometimes from technology, dictionaries, sharing with others. Okay. Spirituality. Is the quality of being interested in religion or religious matters. I try to think that person is a Baptist, but I grew up as a Baptist. I cannot be critical. I listen to that. You talk about the Baptist, what's your interest? I listen what you want to know about the Baptist church or whatever. Okay. You don't want my advice? Bye. You need my advice, and I give it, whatever. health, your physical condition, and how healthy you are. Some people come and they don't say anything. They're not open about their health. And then later on, they begin to trust me. They open up and tell me about their health and about their change. And then our communication, we begin to help each other. I'm not a doctor. I send them back to the doctor about to listen to your doctor and do what the doctor says. And family, a group of people, like mother and father, are depressed. And maybe you're depressed about losing a mother and father or a brother or sister, relative. A ministry is a profession of being a church leader, the work done by a priest or other religious person. That's what usually meant by that. They come to me, talking to me as a counselor, but they're a member of the church. They want to criticize others. They have a right to come to me and say, I want to talk to you. Sure. We go in private. And they want to burden me and are critical or insulting me. Say, oops. Yeah. What do you think? I'm hurting. All of this. I don't know how. And you're smart. And you're not. I don't like what you're doing. I have to try to help them take care of themselves or make some changes in their thinking. All that comes from the word minister. family, I need to be very careful about self-control. I need to watch, you know, time. Time really goes fast. Wow. I need to warn 1 hour for 1 hour. A challenge. If you need more, then... Oh, if you have more than that, I'll give you copies of my thing, which part two... Coming again, okay? Okay. Back up. Okay. We have the three. Man, I can't see. Okay.
Delegate
authority in a response. To the church elders, I'm under the church elders, and the deacons, or they help the ministry at the different levels. Okay. We already talked about self-control. The primary, the most important, is what do I mean by primary? And time management is learning how to plan your time for yourself, your family, your children, your church, your job, and your school wisely. That's the kind of thing. Putting your schedule, letting you meet appointments, and think of that priority is that by that word I mean what's the most important thing. Some people make their schedule, oh, it looks so good. Where's God? Way down the bottom. Oh, that's not so good. We need to keep moving him up until he becomes first. And if that's fine. You have a good balance in your life. You want to keep God at the top. And you can be more blessings. And you're wiser. And it leads you to all these other things that I want to share with you. If you improve, then you can help me. If we don't share deep information like this, then we just share a little bit, then you improve a little bit. You must open up and be honest in sharing. All the improvements comes that way and reduces some of the grief. You can help the deaf help the hearing. And me help the hearing? Me help the hearing? Why? Too long the deaf been used to hearing, helping the deaf. And they let the hearing want to let the deaf learn how to help themselves sometimes. And hard of hearing the same way. Why? The deaf culture is very strict or limited and resistant. They want to do it themselves, among themselves, and do everything on their own. And it hurts them sometimes. I have to learn. The deaf taught me a lot. Ooh. Yeah, the deaf kind of mean to each other sometimes. And hearing people, we can learn. Hearing people can learn some things from the deaf. Okay, you want to delegate. Now, Christian counseling. Heart talk. That's the most important. From the heart. One word comes out of your mouth. God already knows what you're going to say. Interesting. If you open your mouth with a negative, oh, I can see that. Come on. And they just go all that negative stuff. And then their heart's bleeding. You know. I let them know I'm sensitive. I will accept, hold, because Jesus is very good about gathering all the people's problems and dying on the cross for our sins. So I need to try my best to be like Jesus. So I will ignore the name and the ugly stuff and everything against me. And just think, okay, Carl, I need your help. I'm there. Okay, sure, come on. How can I help you? You must help me. Okay, I have a problem. Okay. I won't forget. You are a person. I'll look at the past. I remember a lot of hearing people don't understand the hearing world, and the hearing don't understand the hard of hearing or deaf world. They come to my office. Carl, you and I are the same. We are? You know. Oh, well, let's sit down and talk about it. How can I help you? I want you to do this, this, and this, and this, and this for me. I said, oh, really? Where'd you get that idea that you think you can tell me that way? And so I'm wondering, wait. You're going too fast here. I'll make some notes. You want those things. Who sent you to me? That person over there. Okay. Thank you. Why? Then I go talk to that person. Why send that person to me? What's wrong with you? You don't want to help? Oh, wait a minute. You know what he did? Really? Oh, I'm sorry. Now, hey, come here. Send him back. And I could wipe my brow. He's putting his problems off on me, you know. And I was wondering, that person allowed that person to be mean to me. And I didn't accept that. Okay. Later, finish that person and come back and talk to me and say, they're sorry. Okay, you're sorry. Okay. Then I'm more thrilled then to help you. Now we'll go on from there. And I heard that person went on and did well. Heart-to-heart talk. Light control talk. I need your help. How? How do you feel? You want? Okay, just want to talk a little bit. I've let my wife, this one needs to talk to me. I need to be flexible. She said, okay. I said, I want you to come with me and sit. And it requires some patience. Excuse me, what's wrong? My wife is making some expressions, facial expressions. Okay, my wife is, okay. Then it gets better as it goes on. Okay, some came in, they're just heavy, they lose control, and they just are crying about something, and I'm very glad to help them. Then there's search talk. People are searching, open, you're looking. Searching for God? Or searching for lost brother or whatever. First question comes out of my mouth. I can listen. Oh. Later I find out it's not that, but it's something else that's a problem. And it opens up more. And the more they tell me, then I keep changing to finally get to that. Heart talk is just straight, blunt talk. You want to beat me up? Okay, I don't want to waste my time. Take them patiently. I can't help that sometimes. Okay, short talk. Control talk is I aim to do what you want them to do. And then the search talk, explore a solution, how, why, and what if. That's a search talk. Use it for reporting, use it for reference, depending. Christian counseling would include learn to listen, you know, listen as the lead, explore empathy and the style of the speech. Okay, listen. How well does the person listen? I'm the counselor or the person there. I need to listen and find they don't listen or they get off the subject. I need to take it easy and wait. After they finish talking, let them lead. What they come for, I don't know. See, I don't know why they've come. They have a reason for coming. Later, get down to it, and finally they open up. And the lead, did the listener lead the subject into the discussion? Am I the leader or is that person the leader? Which one? You don't know. You have to watch out. Explore. How well did the listener explore the person's need? They kept questioning. And I keep listening. Then they leave and we set up an appointment, maybe in next month or 2 months. I find out that I didn't do much, but they did all the talking. Okay. Empathy. Does the listener show he feels for the speaker? Sometimes I don't have very much expression. I just keep a blank face and look. And they're looking, you like me? Why are you asking that? Because somebody told me you don't like me. You believe that person? I want to see you. Is that true? Do you like me? You mean you don't know? If I tell you? What about that person? You think that I'm talking about you? That scares me a little bit. Makes me, what? Did they really say that about me? Why? You know what they said about me? No, I don't know. It just told me that you, wow. Oh, I'm wow what? Okay. Let the talk go. Okay, empathy. Style of speech. The way in which the listener searches for the need of the counselor. Depend upon the communication, how it goes, whether they're talking about drugs or prostitution or involved in the wrong group of people. We don't know that. You're going to find that out. So information in Christian counseling, you find out the symptoms. I notice that I'm very quiet at first. If they tell me or they don't tell me, I keep it to myself. I'm observing them, and I catch what they need, what they like. depends on what the needs may be. And the setting, is it outside the home or in the home or is it in the church or is it out in the community, what the problem is. I look for the setting. Depends on out of town or in the town. Whatever. If the source of the problem is at work or depends, you know. We'll think more about that later than the solution. The circle just keeps going like that. How's our time? Terminology. The time is gone. So I'd warn I would not be able to. I knew this was more than, it's not up for 1 hour, but I have some papers here. I'll provide the papers that might help you. Thank you for coming.